Thank you. Am I on? There we go. Thank you, Mandy and worship team. That was great. Wow. Wonderful. What a great day. Amen. Boy, I hope those of you watching by internet, we welcome you this morning. There are some new people watching us, and I just welcome you. Are you focused on me? There we go. Have you ever looked forward to something? Go, Riders, go. Yes. I look forward to something. I mean, you know, I look forward to this morning, but I look forward to today. Because the world is going to bleed green. I'm wearing a blue suit. You guys are all shaking your head, those of you who are wearing green. I did this unintentionally, but I do want you to know, I'm taking a church history course, and throughout time, they have done maps, and they've reshaped everything. And so they have reshaped the map of Canada. I hope you understand that. And I invite you to just look at it, how they've reshaped it. But at the end of today, it's going to be all green. Amen? Oh, yeah, you guys amen that. But looking forward. I'm looking forward to today. I'm looking forward to the end of today because I know how the end is going to shape out. Somebody's going to win the Grey Cup. I'll tell you that right now. But how about Christmas? I mean, anyone here, adult, teen, or child, have you ever looked forward to Christmas? Anybody? Yeah. Opening presents, you know, that's fun. Putting up the tree, you know, I was down south and I down there and I was driving around a couple of weeks ago and actually people had their trees up in their living room windows. I know because I was peeking in and it's just, glad I didn't say where it was. But people look forward, they put up the tree, people putting up the lights. People love putting up the light. I know a lot of spouses get after their spouse for putting up their lights. I got our lights up, Joey. Sure. So ours are done. So way to put up the lights, guys, just so you know. Less hassle. In fact, I'll come around and help you out with that. I have extra clips. Have you ever received a gift where you just don't have words to describe? You can't describe the gift. It's either been something like, oh, wow, what I've always wanted, or wow, never thought I'd ever get one of these, you know? Can't describe it. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. It's a short verse. It's only 8 words long. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. We're starting a series talking about gifts and Christmas gifts in particular, but I want you to see this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's a great verse. The Apostle Paul actually talks at the beginning. He talks of starting in verse 6. He talks about human gifts. Man shouldn't give under compulsion. He should. God loves a cheerful giver, and he talks about those human gifts. But then he ends with this chapter with this verse. And it's only 8 words, but listen. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. His indescribable gift. An indescribable gift is thanked. You see, when you receive a gift, well, an indescribable gift, when somebody gets here, you go, well, thanks. Thanks for the gift. This is the time of year where we're so concerned about just choosing that right gift to give to some very special people in our lives. But let me ask you, have you ever received an indescribable gift? A gift that was beyond description? A while back a few years ago actually, Good Morning America, they featured some kind of gift ideas that you maybe could say were indescribable. I mean, they were extraordinary gifts that some of you might want to include on your gift list. One of them is a Jaguar automobile, Jaguar 220. If you care to order one of these, you just go to Jaguar dealer or to their website and put down your $80,000 deposit. And when that automobile is delivered, you're expected to pay the balance of $507,000. $507,000. Did you hear me? Jaguar 220 is a $587,000 automobile, and they only make 250 of them a year. Now, if you should care to buy your preacher one of these to express your love and appreciation, I will be a gracious recipient. It will be indescribable for me, but I will receive it. They also went on to describe that if you purchase this automobile, you might be interested in the $3,400 car wax, 8-ounce can. And if you can afford that automobile, surely you can afford the $3,500 car wax. And the third item was a $300,000 gold and silver toilet seat inlaid with precious stones. It would take a while to get out of there. I mean, you'd be enjoying the toilet seat, you know. And those who want a little cheaper gift, there's an $18,000 frisbee, $10,000 yo-yo, $12,000 mousetrap. I mean, you want to treat your mouse right, you know. And a $27,000 pair of sunglasses, which I'm looking into, by the way. Joan just went white. I don't know. I don't understand. And for the proud grandparents, maybe your proud grandparents, just new grandparents, this just even a couple of weeks ago, if you really love your new grandbaby, how about a $28,000 pacifier? They're watching this right now, and they're expecting something. Gifts like that stagger our imagination, don't they? But they're not indescribable. You can describe them. I mean, even though we may not be able to find words to describe them, I assure you, manufacturers have the words to describe them, and they will spend lots of money describing them in TV and newspaper ads. They will. They'll seek to describe them to entice people into believing that they need them. But God's gift cannot be described. How do you describe Jesus? What words could you choose? Isaiah said he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. That's a start. How do we describe the indescribable? Paul says we can't, because words won't do it. So Paul says, thank God. But Christmas is that time where many people find it difficult to really thank God for anything. It's interesting that Hollywood has really captured this. Movies like The Scrooge, you know, have been out for a long time. Christmas with the Cranks, Surviving Christmas. Oh, you know, love watching those movies. Really puts me in the Christmas mood. Especially Christmas with the Cranks. Our thanks, the praise in which was extolled and proclaimed because of that manger incident, is often lost or else forgotten during Christmas season. We crowd our heart with so many worries and concerns, with our critical, bent out of shape spirit, that the Holy Spirit is not given any room. And Paul says, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. Where's your praise? Whom do you praise? To whom do you give thanks? Do you praise and extol the Savior, or praise the marketplace, or praise the Hollywood blockbusters? John the Baptist would understand, because he stood proclaiming, he stood telling of what was to come. And in the book of Mark, and it's actually very beginning, Mark chapter 1, and Mary and Sandra read for you the first portion of this from Isaiah. But verse 4 says, John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside, all the people of Jerusalem went out to him confessing their sins. That's Advent. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He would be great at Survivor. And this was this message: after me. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Anticipate. Wait. He's coming. The gift is coming. The indescribable gift is coming into the world. I cannot tell you about him, but he's coming. Much like John. John tried to capture it. He couldn't. So he called people to just prepare, giving thanks to God for such a gift. Paul said, "Thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift." What gift is it that God gave? What gift is so indescribable? Is this gift such a mystery to us? No, Jesus was born in a manger, lowly and poor. That's indescribable. But it can be thanked. An indescribable gift is thanked, but an indescribable gift is also taken. And take the gift. You know, somebody says, "Here's the gift." You go, "Well, thanks," and then you take it. You've got to take the gift. The Apostle Paul, he shifts his attention from human gifts, which is what the beginning of this chapter is about, to God's gift of sending Jesus to earth for us. And he cannot find those words to describe it. He just says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." To give thanks means that we accept the gift. In this case, Christ is the gift we need to accept. We see Christmas can be mostly just made of emotion, a hype. We get emotional. We get wrapped up in what time of year it really is. We think more about Jesus more than at any other time of the year. But we need to take this gift and accept it into our life. Not just at one season, but for a lifetime. That's what John the Baptist was crying out in the wilderness for. Accept the gift that's to come. Accept Jesus Christ. Tell God your bad stuff. Ask him to forgive you. And God will. That's taking the gift. Then you give thanks, but not before. You have nothing to give thanks for because you don't have the gift. It's presented to you, but you don't take it. You know what? God looked at our world. He knew that our greatest need is not for more wealth, not for better schools, not even a better welfare system. Our greatest need is for a Savior. He's Christ the Lord. Paul called Jesus indescribable because of his purpose in coming to earth. The angels announced to the shepherds, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." What do we celebrate at Christmas? Too often we forget even this at Christmas. Look at this Family Circus cartoon. Don't forget wrapping paper. Next one. Don't forget tree lights, tinsel. Don't forget visit with Santa. Don't forget last-minute gifts. Don't forget the manger. Many of us celebrate Christmas the very same way. In our rush of observing Christmas with giving and eating, do we really stop to meditate upon the Christ child who should be the center of the celebration? We celebrate the fact that Jesus came into our world to save us. God saw that mankind needed saving. God knows the world needs peace. It requires it. And Jesus said before he left, "My peace I leave with you." What a gift. See, with that kind of gift, you can't describe those kind of gifts. Peace. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, said the hymn writer. We live life selfishly, as we talked about last week. But Christ invites you to peace. What a great gift. An indescribable gift. peace. Little Johnny, he said to his Uncle Rodney, he said, thanks for that harmonica you gave me for Christmas. First time he saw him after the holidays. Best Christmas present I ever got. Well, that's great, said Uncle Rodney. Do you know how to play it? Oh, well, I don't play it, little Johnny said. My mom gives me $1 a day not to play it during the day. My mom gives me $5 a week not to play it at night. It's pretty good profit margin. Peace. There'll never be peace on earth until people take the gift of Jesus Christ that only Jesus Christ can give, a changed heart, a changed thinking, because the Savior's come. How do you describe that kind of gift? How do you put into words what God accomplished when he sent his only son, his only begotten son into the world? You can't. You can only accept it. You can take it. Janice Miediter said, Christmas is not as much about opening our presents as opening our hearts. That's really Christmas. Opening your heart. Have you ever given a gift that you thought you just owed it to somebody? You know, give gifts because we just have to. Well, I have to give that gift because they, you know. We just can't take a gift. You ever been there? So-and-so gave us this. We better make sure we give them something. Gifts generally, it's like an obligation, you know? But that's the difference between God's gift. Because God doesn't owe us anything. Indeed, we are in constant rebellion against him and his will for our lives. And with that in mind, Paul says something remarkable in the 5th chapter of Romans. He said, while we were yet in our sin, while we were still enemies of God, Christ died on the cross for us. God gives us this gift, not because he feels obligated to give a gift, but because his love is so overwhelming. That's his grace. What a gift. And when you stop at the manger in Bethlehem, and you look at the Christ child, there are no words adequate enough to describe God's grace and God's love towards us in Jesus. And that's why the Apostle Paul looked at Jesus and he said, I can't describe him. All I can do is I can fall on my knees and I can just give all of me to him and thank God for his indescribable gift. And I guess that's what we need to do. We need to fall on our knees and we need to give him everything, all of me, and thank God for his indescribable gift. Just watch this video.
Christmas. It's so complex, yet so simple, and so incredibly beautiful. I think about the wise men. How they came with their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gifts fit for a king. And I find myself asking, what gift could I possibly offer as I celebrate his birth? I mean, 2,000 years before every mistake I have ever made, every hurt I have ever felt, and every wrong I have ever committed, a Savior was born. A Savior that would heal, perform miracles, and ultimately give his life as a ransom for me, to save my messy life. He gave the gift of himself. So it seems the greatest gift I could give to him would be to just follow his lead. To give him the gift of myself. All of me. My wounds. My sickness. My grief. Everything. When I do that, when I give him the gift of myself, it doesn't stop there. He just keeps giving back. I I realize He loves and cares more than I can imagine. I am redeemed by the Savior. All the sin, all the pain, all the mistakes, they're just remnants that died before they ever existed. Thank God for Christmas.
What gift could you possibly offer? What person would take as a gift every hurt, every pain, feelings of hopelessness and anger and worry and regret? Christ. Inside of your, or you would have received this when you came through the door this morning, the ushers handed you a little card. Is that correct? Did you all get one? Just hold up the card. What gift could I possibly give? I want you to take a moment and I want you to just look at that card, and maybe you need to just write down worry or anger or hurt or pain or hopelessness or my messy life. I invite you to do that this morning because Christ gave His life to save your messy life. Can you give Him your sickness? Can you give Him your regret? Can you give Him your want? Can you give Him all of you? He gave all of Himself for you, but can you give Him your all? It may be your financial burden. It may be your job, maybe you just haven't given that to Him yet. I want you to just take time to write those down. And I'm going to ask Margaret, but I'm going to ask you to come and play, and I'm just going to invite you to write those, whatever you want to write down there. And then I'm going to invite you to come to the altar, and I invite you to tear those up in His presence here with the rest of the body of Christ. And you can tear them. Nobody's going to look at your sheets, by the way, because I'm hoping that we'll all deal with this today. And I invite you to just come and rip it up before Him. In essence, you're saying, I'm ripping this apart for me today, Lord. I'm giving my sickness, I'm giving my hurt, my pain, my suffering, I'm giving my messy life over to You. So write those things down and just come forward and then make your way back to your seat. But just come down, rip them up before the Lord, and you're welcome to do that this morning. I want to give you that opportunity. Don't be shy. Don't be concerned about what other people are going to think, but I invite you to do that today because that's your offering. That's all Christ asks for is your pain, your hurt, your burden, whatever it is. He invites you to come and just rip it up and lay it here before Him and leave it there before Him. I'm not going to go through them later and look at your handwriting, so you don't have to worry about that. You can come and give. Because how do you describe an indescribable gift other than just giving it up before Him? I invite you to do that. Maybe you don't want to write down anything. You don't have to. You can just come and rip it up anyway because God knows your heart. Or maybe you don't want to come forward. Maybe you say, I don't want to do that. You don't have to do that. You can do it right where you're sitting. Just allow God to take it. Don't hold on to it anymore. That pain and that hurt, it's got to disappear. That's your offering to the Lord. That's your gift to Him. That's your gift to Him. bow our heads and pray. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I ask you this morning, maybe you've never taken that indescribable gift. Maybe you've never said, Lord, I just want you right now. I want you to just cleanse me of all that garbage, all that stuff in my life that has displeased you. And Lord Jesus, I just want to be more like you. So today, God, I just give you me. Maybe you just want to say that to him today. Because you know that you need something else. You've tried everything else, and you've never tried him. And now it's time to accept him, the gift he gave. Maybe for you, you've just walked through Christmas just like you walk through anything else in life, busied and hurried. And today you know you need to just make a fresh new commitment to him, saying, God, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to take the time to be with you, have a relationship with you, spend time with you, because you're indescribable. And you gave it all for me, even though I didn't deserve it. You gave it all for me. God sent his only begotten son as a baby. Indescribable. But the good news is you don't have to be able to describe him. All you have to do is accept him. Father God, thank you that we can make a journey to the manger. We can go with shepherds, wise men, even like the angels. And God, we can look into that place. Each and every day, each and every moment, and you accept us. God, for that, we can't even begin to describe it, because we know we don't deserve that gift that you gave on the cross for us. Lord, sometimes we don't even like talking about the cross because it just sounds so horrible. We'd rather talk about the manger because it sounds so cute and cuddly. But God, you gave your life. All of you. You gave your whole person, your whole being, and died on that cross a horrible death as a gift for us to take. For that, we give thanks. And we would pray today, God, that all those who've surrendered here today, either up in this altar or in their heart somewhere, God, I just pray that you would just bless them, bless those by internet, Lord, who are just giving up that stuff that they need to give up, and surrendered it all to you as a gift, as an offering to you. And you take it, you replace it with the courage we need, the hope that we require, and the love that we yearn for. To that we say, to you be the glory and the honor. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.